Hello. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm great. So I
Good.
just want to welcome everybody who's listening to this today's Mental Health Minute teleseminar. My name's Tom Unger. I'm a psychiatrist and educator. I work at North York General Hospital, and I'm going to be chairing this teleseminar today. Today our topic is going to be on mood disorders, and my guest speaker, who I'll introduce in just a couple of minutes today, is Karen Lieberman, who is the head of the Mood Disorder Association of Ontario. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Tom.
So just to give a bit of background to all of those of you who've taken the time to listen to this teleseminar today, this is an initiative that has been funded with the kind of generous support through a grant from a federal agency, the Canadian Council on Learning. And through their grant, we have a grant to our lead agency, the National Network for Mental Health, and our project partners, the Mood Disorders Association of Ontario, the Participants Council of North York General Hospital, and the Ontario Association of Patient Councils. So we've all come together to do a project entitled Improving Mental Health Services, a Bottom-Up Approach to Improving Provider Behavior. Now, our idea was to try to provide good quality, credible information to the public through a variety of ways, including a website, and we're currently using all of our project partner websites as well as our main delivery website, mentalhealthminute.com. And as well, we're providing teleseminars, these telephone seminars where anyone from across Canada can phone in and join us or go to the website and listen to the recorded segments. We're using an infotainment approach to try to provide entertaining and everyday language type of information so that people can normalize and understand mental health concerns for their own reasons without stigmatizing it, and in a way that's meaningful to their everyday lives. We've got audio casts, brief one-minute mental health minute audio segments. We have podcasts, which are about a 10-minute information audio message that you can listen to or have a colleague or friend listen to if you think it's relevant. We have a few video casts that display some mental health issues that you can watch and are actually posted on YouTube, and you can find out our website at mentalhealthminute.com, as well as some very practical treatment guidelines written for everyday people in terms of how to maintain your mental health and on a variety of mental health conditions. So that's our approach. You can find links to credible other sites if you go to mentalhealthminute.com. All our project partner sites are on there. And if you find that you're interested and you think there may be something relevant for you, all of our recommended links are credible and recommended by myself as looking them over, that you can then go to. So you can climb the ladder of good quality information for your own purposes. So that's what brings us to today. We've had a number of teleseminars and people kindly volunteering their time to participate, and we've had fabulous input from across the country in terms of questions and information. So today's speaker is Karen Lieberman, someone whom I've gotten to know over the past year and a half, and has been fabulously enthusiastic and supportive of our project, for which I'm very grateful, as we're all doing the same, walking the same road and trying to achieve some of the same goals of getting good quality information to people in order to help them improve their lives. So, Karen, I'm going to let you introduce a little bit more about yourself and then let us know about your organization and some of the activities you've been up to.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Tom.
You're very welcome.
Well, first of all, let me just say that I'm just delighted to be a part of this and delighted to be a part of Mental Health Minute. I think it's just a wonderful initiative, and at the Mood Disorders Association, we're absolutely committed to helping in any way we can. So as Tom said, I'm Karen Lieberman, and I am Executive Director of the Mood Disorders Association. In addition to my professional role, I am someone who lives with a mental illness. I was diagnosed about 20 years ago with severe clinical depression, and thankfully I'm in full remission now for the past 10 years and doing very well, but I can tell you there's someone who has seen the worst of one of these illnesses. It was no walk in the park, and as I say to people, I've been there, I've done it, and I have a number of T-shirts to show for it. interestingly enough, also my family has mood disorders running right through it. including the ones we know about and the ones that we talked about but never really knew what was wrong. So I bring a number of perspectives to the discussion, personal, family, and now in this wonderful role as Executive Director of the Mood Disorders Association, I get to bear witness to the journey of literally thousands of people who are affected by mood disorders, and helping them and helping their families is not only my work, it's my passion. The Mood Disorders Association is a layperson's organization. We don't do clinical work per se, so we don't have psychologists or psychiatrists. We do have one social worker whose work is dedicated to helping families of newly diagnosed young people. But by and large, we're a layperson's organization, and that puts us in an interesting position because we are blessed with the help of a number of clinical people from North York General Hospital, from the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, from Sunnybrook. And I often say we've got this great kind of wonderful advising crew behind us. But our role is slightly different than a clinical or a therapeutic role. We see our role mainly in two ways. One, to offer support to people who every day are struggling with depression, bipolar disorder, seasonal affective disorder, the anxiety disorders as well. Our role is to be there for these people when they need information, when they need support, when they need someone to talk to. And in fact, our organizational message is talk to someone who's been there. Because every person on our staff and every one of our volunteers has had direct personal experience with these illnesses. So people come to us in a variety of ways. Sometimes they phone us and they're just looking for some support in navigating the system, in managing their lives, in dealing with the education system or financial issues or housing issues or even justice issues. And so we have volunteers who are always ready at the phone to answer people's questions as best we can. Obviously, a lot of people go to our website, and there they can get information. We have a number of fact sheets. We have a number of resources and supports. We have a family kit. We have a wonderful publication and resources for teens who are struggling with adolescent mood disorders and their families. And so there's just a wealth of information and resources all written, and I like, you know, that's why I guess I'm so fond of what's happening with Mental Health Minute, all written in plain language, easy to understand, easily digestible, and all backed up by credible clinical support.
Right. Can you give us your web address, Karen, just so everybody knows, please?
It's www.mooddisorders, that's one word, mooddisorders.on.ca. The other way people come to us to support is through our peer support groups. And these are the real foundations of our work. People come and they come to groups. They come to a general depression group or they come to a specific group just for women or just for men or for postpartum. They come to these groups and they are with their peers who truly, you know, as we say, get it. When people talk about the sometimes devastating impacts of depression or bipolar disorder, the people in that group truly understand and can truly give back validation that the individual is not alone, that other people have gone through this, are going through this, and have recovered from this. So peer support groups are really the foundation of our programs. We have 18 of them in Toronto and over 60 in communities throughout Ontario.
That's incredible numbers.
Yeah, it's really quite remarkable. And all of the groups, every one of them, is facilitated by a trained volunteer. So this is an organization that literally runs on the engine of volunteers. The second part of what we do, in addition to support, is very consistent with what you're trying to do, Tom, and that is to educate the public, to make the public aware of mood disorders and what they are, to not only destigmatize the whole issue, but in fact to, as much as we can, normalize the experience that, you know, people get all kinds of illnesses, and sometimes some of us get a mental illness. And we need to understand, we need to empathize, we need to become very knowledgeable about what these conditions are, the fact that there is a very effective treatment out there. There definitely is hope, and there definitely is recovery. So we have just so many, you know, initiatives around that. We have an annual That's Just Nuts campaign where we distribute candy-coated peanuts and an information sheet that talks about the fact that people with mental illness aren't nuts, but some of the myths that surround mental illness are truly nuts. We have distributed in the last 3 years over 500,000 talk cards. And these are little kind of business cards that say, talk to someone who's been there. And they give people an opportunity to share with someone they're concerned about a little card that has some of the signs and symptoms of depression and some resource numbers that they can go to. Our most, our most impressive campaign, and the one that's managed to accrue to us a great deal of attention, is something called Check Up from the Neck Up.
Love the name. Great name.
Thank you. We kind of love it, too. And we've been very, very gratified by this campaign that is intended through normalizing, sort of getting a mental health checkup the same way you would get a physical checkup, the same way you test your cholesterol and you get your blood pressure checked and you check your teeth regularly and your eyes. We're advocating that people go to a website, checkupfromtheneckup.ca, and test their mental health. And this online screen tests for depression, bipolar disorder, generalized anxiety disorder, and panic disorder. And I guess what I'd like to leave people with about that is that we've worked very hard to ensure that when you take these screens, and they're not diagnoses, only a doctor can do a diagnosis, but they are screens, that you're also given an enormous amount of information about the conditions, and most importantly, no matter where you live in Canada, you can find where to get local resources and local help. There's information on how to find a therapist. There's information on building a therapeutic relationship with your doctor. All the information is current and up-to-date and valid across Canada, and I'm happy to say it's also now in French.
Wonderful. So I've seen that list, and again, there's a link from our website, the Mental
Yes.
Health Minute site, to the mooddisorders.on.ca site or through the Mood Disorder site, and it's a very impressive, incredibly useful resource list for people across the country. So I just want to add emphasis to that.
Thank you. Thank you. We're very excited about it.
Great. Anything else at this time? Because I have a few questions for you, Karen.
Sure, no, I'll leave you to ask some questions. I'm never at a loss for words.
Okay.
We don't have to worry about dead air.
So I just want to start again, and I'll come back to this at the end, your message of hope, that there's lots of good treatment and recovery. Just let us know about that, because I think mood disorders in particular affect a person's hope. So to hear that message may be doubly important. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. You know, very often we see people, unfortunately, who are already have been sick for quite a while, and they hear about us sort of far into the illness when one of the major casualties of this illness, as far as I'm concerned, is in fact the loss of hope, the loss of belief that you will ever get better. Certainly when I was so sick and we were doctors and therapists and everybody was working so hard to try and get me well and you know, the medications weren't always working. And one of the things that I firmly came to believe, because the illness actually makes you believe, is that you'll never get well.
Mm-hmm.
What we know at the Mood Disorders Association is that people can and do get well. The treatment options, even in the last decade, have improved so much. We're learning more and more about how effective forms of psychotherapy like cognitive behavioral therapy and interpersonal therapy are showing remarkable results in helping people to get well and to stay well.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I always say to people is, you don't even have to hope when you're so sick. We'll hold on to the hope for you until you're ready to reclaim it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that there, I haven't yet to meet a person, not one, even people who are very, very ill, for whom I haven't been absolutely and totally convinced that they can get well. We can't always predict the timetable.
Mm-hmm.
We can't always predict what it's going to take. But I absolutely believe, and all of us around here believe, that people can and do get well, even if they're seriously ill.
Right. Wonderful. So thank you for sharing that, and your passion comes through strongly on that. You mentioned family. Can you just touch on mood disorders and impacts on family and what family might be able to do if they have a family member going through something?
Sure.
Yeah.
One of the things we've learned over the past couple of decades around the Mood Disorders Association is that families are often the canaries in the mine. Very often people who are sort of experiencing their first episodes or you know, at the beginning some of the symptoms aren't quite defined enough or serious enough to go to a doctor, very often families will notice changes in their loved ones' behaviors, in their patterns, in their attitudes, in you know, loss of interest, maybe an irritability. And so very often it's family members who actually call to seek help first for someone that they love. And family members have, in my belief, an extraordinary role to play. First and foremost, our view is that mood disorders, like any other illness, are illnesses that we need to learn about. If you had a loved one who, you know, was exhibiting signs of some other illness, cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, you as a family member would become very knowledgeable. You would learn as much as there is to learn. The second thing is that family members are in the best position to help their loved one to see the need to get something checked out. Very often, particularly in the initial phases of these illnesses, there is a kind of a lack of awareness of what's happening, what's going on. We tend to explain it away or to kind of think that it's attributable to something else. And family members are in an ideal position to be able to feedback to their loved one, this is what I'm seeing, this is a change in behavior, this is what I notice, and I think we need to get this checked out. Last but certainly not least, and this sometimes is a bit disconcerting when I say this, family members have an obligation not to get sick. These illnesses make those of us with the illness not that much fun to be around, frankly. We're sometimes just puzzling and bewildering and confusing to those of us, to those who love us. And I always say that you can never underestimate the power of these illnesses to tear families apart. People who love us need to maintain their own health, their own mental health, their own physical health. They need to take care of themselves because we need their support. We need their help. We need their counsel. We need them to share with doctors and therapists what they're seeing. And our family members can't get sick. So part of the most important thing that I say to family members is you need to take care of yourself. And sometimes that even means pulling back a little when the stress gets too much and when you find yourself becoming depleted.
That's an incredibly important point, and I don't think we hear that often enough, permission to be able to pull back as well.
Yeah. You know, the reality is, and this is something I always say in my presentations, if family members could squirrel inside our brains and change the serotonin and dopamine and norepinephrine levels, they'd do it in a heartbeat because they love us. But the reality is they can't do that. What they can do is support us and love us and become knowledgeable warriors in the fight.
Wonderful. So, that's fabulous. Final thing, we've talked about a bit of your story, and thank you for sharing that and some of the treatments that have helped and what your organization does. Some of our listeners work or are still working or have had to take time off work, and sometimes they have some unique challenges with a mood disorder and being at work. Can you just comment on that for us?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Although I was so sick for so many years and in and out of hospital 17 times, I managed to keep working, believe it or not, throughout that decade. And one of the things we know is that mood disorders strike people in the prime of their lives, in their working years. And one in five people will struggle with a mood disorder in their lifetime. So they're people with mood disorders are you and me and everybody else. They're people who go to work every day and struggle and often hide what's going on and unfortunately sometimes become very ill and have to go off on leave. It's a bit of a call as to whether to disclose the fact that you have a mood disorder to those around you. My experience says that you don't, and what the law says is you don't have to disclose the fact that you have a mental illness. You don't have to offer up a diagnosis. But if you feel in your workplace that you need some accommodation, some change in hours, some more flexible work schedule, some different ways of working, you know, some different kind of approach to tasks, that every person in this country is entitled to accommodation. They don't have to come up with a diagnosis. They will have to come up with a doctor's note that says they need accommodation. And every employer in this country is obliged by law to offer accommodation. And so my experience is that I would never necessarily advise people to disclose if they're not comfortable yet with that, but people are entitled to workplace accommodation, and if you feel that that will help you, then definitely ask for it.
Right. So I think that's all, that whole topic about how to negotiate and manage the workplace with a mental health condition or mood disorder, it would be a fabulous topic for another one of our seminars, and I think we may just do that hearing your comments. But
I'd be delighted to talk
about that. Sounds like a great one. So I think we'll just wrap things up. Anything else you want to share with us, Karen?
I guess just my final word again to echo the work that you're doing, Tom. We're talking about a human condition, a condition that affects the neurochemistry of the brain. We're not talking about personality disorders or character weaknesses or flaws in your moral or ethical makeup. We're just talking about changes in the neurochemical structure of the brain. And the sooner as a society we begin to understand it and deal with it the same way we deal with cholesterol and high blood pressure and diabetes, I think the better our society and our communities will be.
Fabulous. So, ladies and gentlemen, whoever's listening, you've just heard from one of this country's, as I just heard the term, social entrepreneurs. Karen is one of the country's leaders in doing innovative work, and you can hear it coming through with all the fabulous information she's sharing with all of us, her passion, and the incredible achievements the organization she works with has achieved, really one of the leaders in the country. So thank you for taking the time, Karen.
It was my pleasure.
For today's teleseminar, and also thank you to the Mood Disorders Association of Ontario for being one of our project partners on what we're trying to do with this grant and with this project. So I hope it's been helpful to people. Again, for further resources or to hear this audio segment again, please feel free to visit our website, mentalhealthminute.com, and you will find other good links both to the Mood Disorders Association of Ontario sites and hopefully other useful resources that we continue to try to build to try to improve your life. And just to echo Karen's message of hope and recovery, I don't think I can add anything much more to that. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Take care, everybody. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.